Child abuse and its reduction is the central goal of the uniquely named program 90 by 30 in Lane County. The name is the goal. Reduce child abuse 90% by the year 2030. It's a lofty goal with a relatively short timeline. 2030 is not that far away. When you think about it, any child born today will technically still be a child in 14 years. Let's visit with some of the key players in 90 by 30 about purpose and progress. Phyllis Barkhurst is the executive director. Welcome, Phyllis.
Thank you.
And Dr. Jeff Todahl is with us as well, one of the founders. They are together co-directors at the Center for Prevention of Abuse and Neglect at the University of Oregon. Jeff Todahl, tell us about the basic nugget that turned this into a separate thing, the 90 by 30 program.
Well, good morning. We thought that there was a serious sense of urgency to acknowledge child abuse and neglect in our community. And the nugget, I would say, is that we believe this requires a community solution, that people in our neighborhoods are our best hope for making a difference in reducing child abuse and neglect.
Were there some barriers to people acknowledging child abuse existing in Lane County, or how much of it existed in Lane County?
Well, people have acknowledged in some of the work we've done and some of the survey work that they care deeply about this issue. And so 98% said that it is a key responsibility of adulthood to ensure that all kids are safe. But I do think that there's a level of denial and minimization that happens. It's painful. And in some ways, the easiest thing to do is to turn away.
Phyllis Barkhurst, what's the general rate of child abuse in Lane County compared to other counties? And is it just more surprising because of the number of educated people in Lane County, with the University of Oregon right smack in the middle?
Yeah, we have about 5,000 cases a year in Lane County, which is higher than some other counties. But that's the reported rates of child abuse. And what we've seen is that in counties where there's lots of activity going on, there's more reports. So to use report rates and act as if their prevalence rates is not correct. And so you will often see counties that have the most work or the most mandatory reporters, because they're 70% of the reports that come in, have higher report rates. So it's really not a gauge about the incidents. It's more a gauge about activity.
So let's talk about mandatory reporters. Who are those people, and what are they mandated to do?
Well, the mandatory reporter list keeps growing, but it's people who regularly have interactions with kids, such as teachers, people work at schools, child care workers, people who work in universities, school bus drivers. So mandatory reporters are those people most likely to come into contact with kids. And I'm sorry, what was the second part?
What it is they're required to report.
Well, if they feel that a child is at risk of harm or is being harmed, they don't have to make that decision if they are actually being harmed. They just report it, and the Department of Human Services will then decide what they're going to investigate and then who they're going to do intervention with.
And what are the thresholds? I mean, are there certain specific guidelines for what they have to see or suspect? Or can it just be like, the kid talked funny to me this morning, so I think something's wrong?
Well, you know, we can't do away with gut instinct, but there is a threshold that has to do with whether a child's being harmed or in imminent danger of being harmed. And, you know, this is the whole point of the 90 by 30 project, which is to leave DHS to this small percentage of cases where physical abuse or sexual abuse is happening, compared to the large number of cases where neglect is occurring, which is by far the largest number of child abuse and neglect cases. And a lot of those cases, community members can do something about, and those cases don't need to go to the authorities. So our goal and role is to make sure that, you know, serious cases of child abuse and neglect, meaning those that need intervention or where crimes are being committed, go to the authorities, and those where a kid doesn't have enough to eat, or a parent can't provide child care, or there's respite needed because the family's temporarily homeless. There's many situations in which we can help prevent neglect and abuse by getting involved as community members. If we look at tobacco reduction in Oregon or drunk driving, if you look at some of the major complex problems we've taken on, those where we got together and did something about it as community members are the ones that really had, you know, big impact.
So, Jeff Todahl, what are some of the key strategies in prevention, and how does this differ from things like relief nurseries or Head Start or some of the other programs out there to help young families?
Well, relief nurseries and Head Starts are key parts of responding well when abuse and neglect happens, and they also have a key role in prevention because they contribute to protective factors. What we're putting attention around, and those organizations support this, is to change the norms that allow child abuse and neglect to occur in the first place. So I'll just give one quick example that's based on some research that we did in the Eugene-Springfield area, where survivors of trauma were involved in this survey, and we asked them, at the time when you were first being abused or neglected, how often did someone help or protect you? And the vast majority were first abused or neglected before the age of six. And so how often does someone help or protect you? And the response options were never, rarely, sometimes, and often. And 47% said never, no one ever helped or protected me. And 19% said rarely. And that's a norm that translates across lots of different kinds of ways. So many of us will feel like it's not our business to get involved. It's the family's business. I don't want to touch that. And so that's a norm that we think we can do a lot about, where we get more clear about when we can support families. It's not about intruding in someone's life. It's about feeling like it's okay to support someone. We think social connection and social support is a key to reducing child abuse and neglect.
We're talking about the 90 by 30 program in Lane County, reducing or seeking to reduce child abuse by 90% by the year 2030. Phyllis Barkhurst is the executive director. Jeff Todahl, one of the founders. They are the co-directors of the Center for Prevention of Abuse and Neglect at the University of Oregon. You can join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Jeff, that recoil that you mentioned, not by that term, but I hear that in the way that people might think it's none of their business. For folks who are not mandatory reporters, what are the things that just we as the eyes of the community should be thinking about when we see somebody smack their kid in a grocery store or something?
That's a situation that many of us have bumped into. And we're advocating that there's a way to step into something like that isn't judgmental. And something like, hey, I am a parent too. Maybe you're having a hard day. Is there anything I can do to help? And we've developed and are expanding a video series called What Would We Do Lane County that profiles specific situations like that, and both the scenario and then a pro-social response. And we're sharing that around our community. It's one of the practical things we're working to do to help all of us get a better sense of what to do.
Phyllis Barkhurst, was 90 by 30 modeled after an existing program? Was it something you could take off a shelf, or did you have to do some wheel reinvention on your own?
Yeah, we started 90 by 30 because there is nothing like it. There's nothing. We not only looked across the country, but we looked globally to find a place that blended together the very best prevention strategies that are maybe applied ad hoc. We found one in Australia that was amazing, that they do in one part of Australia, one in Arizona, one that was already in Oregon, one that's from California, one that's the number one funded strategy in Scotland. And our premise is, why not take the very best strategies that are, take one that's school-based, one faith-based, one community-based, weave them together and implement them together over time in one place. And that is the premise that we're operating under, and it is unique.
So who gets the information? Who gets most of the benefit of 90 by, I mean, obviously the benefits go to children who are no longer getting abused and neglected, but I mean, who gets the information that leads, we hope, to the reduction in abuse and neglect?
Well, for the school-based strategies, we have one called Roots of Empathy, for instance. It's with kindergartners and first graders, and they have an infant from the neighborhood come in all school year, and the program is designed to develop empathy in very young children. This particular program, which is the number one funded program in Scotland, has almost 20 years of research behind it to show kids that develop empathy in youth really are going to be very unlikely to bully kids when they get older, or be abusive to their partner, or be neglectful or harmful parents. So that's why we're adding a layer of prevention to efforts like Relief Nurseries and Head Starts that's very different and focused on root causes, because the idea and the reality of growing empathetic people then will, in the long run, reduce child abuse and neglect. So that's one example of one strategy. In this particular case, it's school-based and targeting towards kids.
Had a lot of programs already been implemented? I'm just curious to know how much you could find that seemed to be relatively easy first steps for 90 by 30, or if there was just a lot of stuff already being done.
Well, we've taken a couple of steps. Our first step was to spend a lot of time bringing the questions to the general public and across Lane County. So we've spoken and listened to over 6,000 Lane County residents raising the question. Imagine it's December 31st, 2030, and we've reduced child abuse significantly. What have we done to be successful? And so we've been collecting those ideas. So part of it's very much about tapping into the thinking and the wisdom of our community. So that's one part of it. So we've collected that and been sharing that out. And then one example of something that's taken root is Safe Families for Children, which is a faith-based initiative We don't have quite enough time to get into the intricacies of it, but in short, faith members of the faith community are opening their homes to people who are saying, I need support. And it may include even respite for children. So it's an alternative in some ways to the Child Protective Services system.
Well, you know, I was about to ask about that then. I mean, is it something that coordinates with child welfare, or is it completely unconnected to it?
Well, no, when it's fully functional, it's just now being established in Lane County. We introduced it a couple of years ago at our conference. So they're working to establish a more collaborative relationship with child welfare. That's right now underway.
All right. Now, you're housed at the University of Oregon with 90 by 30, and of course, you guys are the co-directors of the Center for the Prevention of Abuse and Neglect. So you obviously can lay your hands on a lot of research, and I imagine you're using a fair amount of it.
We are, yeah. As Phyllis was mentioning, part of what we're doing is identifying evidence-based strategies that have, you know, exist in different parts of the country, in different parts of the world, and making thoughtful decisions about which of those to bring into our community. So there's that. And then we're also doing a lot of our own research that really started first with tapping into public thinking about this issue. And we've issued a number of reports around that. I'd be happy to share with you and your audience.
Sure.
And then we're also working on the Oregon prevalence study to get a much better sense of the actual rates of child abuse and neglect. Because as Phyllis mentioned earlier also, what gets reported, we're certain, is far below the actual rates. And really getting at prevalence rates hasn't been done very well, in our opinion, and we're working to do that very well in Oregon.
Jeff Todol and Phyllis Barkhurst are with the 90 by 30 project in Lane County, which is aiming to reduce child abuse by 90% by the year 2030. Join us with questions or comments on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So, Phyllis, back to that point about reporting and the issues that come with actual cases versus reported cases. When you start an initiative like 90 by 30, do the numbers sometimes bump up because more people are aware of what they should be looking for with child abuse and neglect?
Oh, definitely. So we expect them to bump up. We projected that they would bump up so that partners who deal with after the fact and intervention would know, because anytime a countywide or a local effort gets a lot of attention, then rates do bump up.
And so what information do you have so far? You've been at this for just about 5 years now, is that right?
We've been at it for 4 years, and we've been spending a lot of our time in Lane County. Is the size of the state of Connecticut, as many of our Oregon counties are large, and we have developed regional teams across the county. There's seven of them, of community members who are the decision makers and are in the process of making the decisions of what strategies they're going to implement across their county. They've been spending their time initially in organizing and in developing their own asset mapping, in other words, deciding what's already in the community. We did a lot of work to identify where kids are. For instance, in West Lane County along the coast, like a lot of coastal Oregon, there's a lot more seniors than adults. I mean, a lot more seniors than kids. So we have a 5-to-1 adult-to-child ratio in Lane County, and in West Lane County, it's more like 7 or 8 adults to one. So we've been gathering the information to make the decisions of what strategies to blend together, and that's where these regions are. And then across the top, we are adopting, with full permission from Australia, the Australia National Association for the Prevention of Child Abuse and Neglect Play Your Part campaign, which is a social norm, social media campaign that provides information and real encouragement for people to get involved and then mechanisms for that people to do so. So we have been building all the framework with our regions, and they're making their decisions during this year to start implementing next year, although we have been chosen as one of the 3 sites in the U.S. to have the license to implement the Roots of Empathy program that I mentioned earlier, which is the school-based program.
Well, you mentioned the regional strategies. How different would the approaches be, for example, from Oak Ridge to Springfield to Florence?
We think very different. Looking at what resources they have already and what they don't have, for instance, in Oak Ridge, West Fir, in that area, the idea of having kids be able to stay and live in the same house all throughout the school year is one of their highest priorities. So strategies that they're going to choose will have to do with stability of kids, because that promotes all sorts of protective factors and will decrease child abuse and neglect simply by having stable families. And so, at the coast, with a lot more seniors, they may choose a foster grandparent type program as one of their strategies because they have the resources to do so. So we feel that there's some that are clearly more popular across the county than others that may show up in many of the regions, and then there's some that will be very unique or specific to the regions themselves depending on their own specific needs.
Jeff Todahl, how much, if at all, do you focus on teens? Because the older teens are the ones who are potentially going to be parents very soon.
Yeah, you know, often people will think about small children when the notion of child abuse and neglect comes up in a conversation. So we think that it's important not to ignore or marginalize teens. So there's some strategies that are very teen-centric. So, for instance, there's some interest in our community with a program called Safe Dates that really again, is evidence-based and gets into issues around what does it mean to treat your partner well as a youth. So that, you know, that's one consideration, is how we'll tailor some strategies for that particular audience.
Phyllis, how is 90 by 30 funded?
We are a privately funded group. The University of Oregon provides us a wonderful office space and some support with accounting services and such, which is awesome. But all of our funding is from private donations and private donors. We don't have any public dollars. We are working with members of the legislature to get some public funding for the Oregon Prevalence Study, because it'll be the first of its kind in the nation. And so that will be something that benefits the entire state, including policymakers. So for that particular effort, we are looking for public dollars. But other than that, we are sticking with private foundations and private donors so that we have the freedom to implement the strategies that the local regions choose.
As new as you are, as you mentioned, just 4 years and a little more, are you measuring yet? I mean, are you measuring progress toward the 90 by 30? Can you say that you've got, you know, 10% by 2016 or something?
We started by measuring public attitudes, mm-hmm. and we've collected rates of child abuse and neglect by reports of people in our surveys, but the primary marker will be the Oregon Prevalence Study, and we're going to pilot that next academic year.
Okay, we'll be talking to you about that down the road, I am quite sure. Jeff Todahl is one of the founders, Phyllis Barkhurst, the executive director of 90 by 30, which is seeking to reduce child abuse by 90% by the year 2030 in Lane County. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Take care.